Get your Bible out and turn to Luke chapter number 24. Luke chapter number 24. Once you arrive there, I want us to stand together. Luke chapter 24. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. You may stand. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. I'll read out loud. The Bible says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. As they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. They remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, Mary, mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran into the sepulchre. Stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass." Look back at me, if you will. This is a story of the resurrection morning. Jesus had died and been placed in a borrowed tomb, and on Sunday morning, up from the grave he arose. That day, that morning, was to be a glorious time. So you all know, Sunday is supposed to be a special day. And I want to talk to you about that, and I think I can help us tonight. Father, bless us now. You know the intent of my heart. Father, I want to teach things that help us in our everyday life. We're not trying to show off our Bible knowledge. We're trying to help the Bible to be exactly to the people what it's supposed to be, a guidebook for Monday and Tuesday, for when they wake up in the morning, for when they walk about their homes, for when they go to work. Forgive the preachers of this generation for complicating the Bible when we were supposed to make it easy. We're supposed to give it to people so that they might grow and live it all day long, every day. Now, Spirit of God, control the speaking and the listening tonight. Hide me behind the cross. The simplicity of that which I will teach will draw criticism, but yet it will help people to live right. And if people want to criticize us for living right, I guess then that will be their problem. Bless us now, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll have a seat, please. We quite a special series of events that are taking place here on Resurrection morning. Two women, both by the name of Mary, go to the sepulchre where Jesus has been buried. The Bible said they went there very early. And you say, why? Well, you show up early when you think something's going to happen. When you want to be a part of something, you show up early, and that's what they did. They were prepared to go and check on Jesus. He had been buried, and it had been predicted in a few days that he'd get up out of the grave. They were expecting something to happen. The Bible says they went very early, and they prepared themselves. And in this story, an earthquake comes. The angel of the Lord appears. The angel of the Lord had rolled back the stone that had been placed over the sepulchre wherein the body of Jesus had laid. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus, and he's not here. He's risen." He said, "Go tell everybody the good news." And they went to spread the good news. Now, when we say the first day of the week, on our calendar, we say Monday's the first day of the week. But so you know, biblically, the first day of the week is Sunday. That's when the week starts. And we call it the Lord's Day. Sunday is the Lord's Day. Now, don't ever get mixed up. Every day is to be a holy day. There are some people that think, well, you're supposed to behave yourself on Sunday, and the rest of the week you can be a little devil. Now, that's not what God teaches. Every day is to be a holy day. Sunday is to be an extra special day. but it's still to be a day in which we live righteously and live holy. But what a wonderful morning, though. Jesus had resurrected. What a great start to their day. What a pleasant thing to wake up to. Jesus is alive. He's resurrected. What good news for the disciples as they start their Sunday morning. And folks, so you know, I believe God wants every morning is a resurrection. For me, it's almost from the dead every morning when I get up. When I get up in the morning, it takes a little extra to get me out of bed. But in a special way, I think Sunday's to be an exciting day. Now, I don't expect everybody to react the way I do to Sunday. I get up pretty early every morning, and somehow I've been getting up at the same time for a long time, and I don't use an alarm, and I wake up at the same time every morning, and it can get quite early in the morning. But on Sunday, I just get up extra early, and I have an extra zip in my step because it's Sunday. The choir right now, we're singing the opener. There's something different in the air. It's Sunday. And I enjoy it. Now, you probably look back at me and say, yeah, you're weird, though. You're the preacher. The preacher, you know, he gets up on Sunday morning and he's excited. But I think to all Christians, Sunday's supposed to be a special day. Today or tonight, I want to give you some reasons why we need to make Sunday and Sunday morning. We need to make it maybe a little extra special. I'm going to give you some ways to accomplish it. One thing that I have done through the years is I have watched God's people. And I think part of my job as a preacher is to watch God's people, see what they need, and try to meet their need. It's not my job to go take some book written by some man and pull a sermon out of it and just try to fill up 45 minutes worth of preaching and fill the slot and get it over with. I'm supposed to actually feed my people what they need in their spiritual diet to keep them healthy. I don't mind someone that wants to teach all the way through the Bible and they want to do that in, you know, systematically, but that's a very hard thing for me to do because if I feel like all of you, if you're discouraged, I feel like I need to come to the pulpit and preach a sermon to encourage you. And if I felt like there are going to be a bunch of lost people in the service, I would feel like I need to preach on getting people saved. And if I thought you were backslidden and acting as crooked as a dog's back leg, I'd want to get up and clean your clock and preach a stuffings out of you about living right. Because it's my job to give you what you need. We have an influx this year of young families, and as a result of it, there are needs that families with younger children have, anybody with kids. But, you know, I'll tell you this, Sundays are supposed to be the most special day all week long, but have you ever noticed how the devil can really work you over about a Sunday? We're busy. It's a day off to most, but at the same time, it's cram-packed full. And so let me, for a little while, help you. I call my sermon, How to Have a Good Sunday Morning, first of all. Number one, realize the devil wants your Sunday morning to be miserable. Realize the devil wants your Sunday morning to be miserable. 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible says that we have an adversary, the devil, who walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Did you know you have an adversary that's out to ruin your Sunday morning? Satan hates Sunday. He wants it to be the worst day of the week. If you ever say, you know what, the worst day of the week is Sunday, I would guess somebody has accomplished their purpose. Satan wants Sunday to be an unproductive day for you, a frustrating day, a rushed day, an unhappy day, an unorganized day, a dreaded day, an impersonal day, and a miserable day. How's he doing, Christian? Do you think Satan woke up resurrection morning and said, it's going to be a great day? Oh, no. No, he hated it, and he didn't want anybody to enjoy it, and he doesn't want you to enjoy your Sunday. He's our adversary, 1 Peter 5:8 says. He opposes what God wants accomplished in our life. He opposes the attitudes that God wants us to have. If this morning was miserable, then Satan fulfilled his purpose in your life. And you say, why would you say something like this? Because it's so realistic. It is so true. It's amazing. Mrs. Owens and I, we didn't know to get any counsel about children and how many kids to have and how close to have them and how soon after getting married to have them. And boy, we started having children right away. And then we had four kids, you know, less than a year apart. You know, we had, I think a couple of our kids were 10 or 9 and a half, 10 months apart. So just, they were close. And so we're taking care of four little ones all at one time. What a major challenge. It was the challenge of a lifetime. And I'll have to tell you, when we first got married, Sunday morning had its challenges. You say, why? Because she needed, you know, like 8 hours in the restroom before it was time to go to church. And, you know, I'm in the backyard using a garden hose trying to take a shower because she's in there doing her hair and all that sort of thing. Now, we had our little challenges as a young married couple in getting off to church. And let me tell y'all something. If you're just a married couple with no children and you're really struggling with a Sunday morning with just two of you, I've got news for you. When you start hatching those kittens, you're going to be in big trouble because it turns into a little more chaos. So I began to realize Sunday morning she and I are trying to get ready for church. And our approach to things, men and women's a little different.
Yeah.
Our approach is different. And then we had all these kids. Now, with the boys, it wasn't as complicated. But the minute I got a second girl in the house, oh, my soul. Now I've got two of them with big wads of hair on top of their head. And they need all this time to get ready. And they never have anything to wear. And they never feel like they look nice. And they all want to change clothes right before we walk out the door. Oh, my. But I began to watch, and I watched our family, and Sunday, it started to become a dread. And I thought, oh my, that is not the way God intended it to be. So I want you to realize something. The devil wants Sunday to be miserable. Secondly, I want you to realize that God wants Sunday to be the greatest day of the week for His people. Psalm 100, verse number 2 says, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. And boy, they came into His temple with singing and thanksgiving. And if you really look at some of the scriptures, especially in the Psalms, when they were approaching the temple of God, when they were approaching the tabernacle, they were happy and they were excited to be there. And wouldn't it be amazing if we could just record everybody's Sunday morning for about an hour before they get here and everybody could listen to what it's really like in modern society, the attitude and the atmosphere that is taking place while we're supposed to be coming to church. In the Bible, they were entering His presence and entering His tabernacle with singing and joy, and they were just excited as they could be. It's still supposed to be that way. Do you know God loves Sundays? The song so well says it. There's something different in the air. It's Sunday. All days are supposed to be good days, but Sunday ought to have just a little extra in it. You know Sunday, you know, to me, you know, Sunday's God's payday. It's God's payday. You know how excited you get on payday, even if you're only going to have the check for a couple minutes. Just to have it pass through your hands. It's a good feeling when payday comes. And for God, it's payday. And I'm not just talking about the offerings and things that come in. I'm talking about, boy, the people are to come in and praise Him and to be excited. And there might be fruit for God because people getting saved and visitors and lives being changed. God, boy, if God were not omnipresent and He were making His way to church, I'll promise you, He'd be whistling on His way in. And somebody stopped and say, well, where are you going, God? He said, it's Sunday. I'm going down to church. I'm going to be with my people. And they're all going to come in and they're all so excited to meet with me today. Right? Yeah, God wants your life to be influenced on Sunday. God has something planned through the singing and the fellowship and through that Sunday school lesson and the offerings and a special number that sang. And by the greeters, meeting the greeter out front that shakes your hand and says good morning to you. And by the ushers and the other Christians and the Word of God and the preaching and the invitation and the lingering after and the showing up. God wants to speak to our hearts and God wants to change our minds and God is wanting to mold us and change us and better us and influence us. Hey, God chose, I think He does extra work on Sunday. On Sunday. You know that our society, it used to be you didn't work on Sunday. That's back when our society functioned with the guidelines of the Bible. You didn't work on Sunday. You had to buy your gas on Saturday because not even the heathen opened up their gas stations on Sunday to make money because it was God's day. Now Sunday's just like any other day, but at least to the world and to certain Christians. But Sunday for God is payday for God. So remember, Satan hates Sunday. So Satan wants to make us miserable on Sunday. God loves Sunday. And God wants Sunday to be a day of delight and a day of victory and a day of jubilance. Now, that means this. Number three, if the devil can make you miserable before you arrive, he could probably hurt God's plan for your Sunday morning at church. You know, he starts before you ever get here. In Ephesians, the Bible says this. I think it's in the book of Ezekiel. It speaks of, no, it's, maybe it's the book of Ezra. It uses these words. It talks about how the devil wants to frustrate God's purposes. And those are the words that are used in the scripture. He frustrates God's purposes. If the devil could get our attitudes off track, get us off track before we ever show up on Sunday, he has now messed up what God wanted to accomplish while we're in God's house, while we're here on a Sunday morning. If the devil can tamper with your attitude before the preaching, he can defeat God's purpose for the preaching. If the devil can injure your spirit before God's word encourages you on a Sunday morning, then he is winning a victory. He goes to work on you before you ever get here. If the devil can quench your joy before God gets a chance to increase your joy at church, then the devil's winning a battle. One of Satan's battlefields is an hour before you get to church. I don't know if you ever knew it. I don't know if you've ever thought about it. About an hour, hour and a half before church time, the devil says, "Pull out the artillery, boys. Let's make the mess." And he does. He knows how. Maybe the biggest determining factor on the degree of influence a church service has on you starts before you ever get to the church service. It's the attitude that's developed as you're preparing. And I don't say this. I'm not mad, and I'm not trying to be mean toward anybody. I might do that in a little while, but right now I have no intent of doing that. But let me say to you, To every parent, to every adult in here, that in the hour, hour and a half before church, and you're all frustrated and almost angry, and even sometimes you get to the point where you're saying, "I don't even want to go." Are you dying from cancer and you can't crawl out the door to get here, or do you just have an attitude problem? I mean, if you just got hit by a car and they're taking you in the ambulance and you're saying, "Yeah, I'm not going to be able to be there this morning," that's one thing. But because you couldn't find your child's shoe. "I can't find that shoe. It's like this every week. I'm just not going to go." What? Over a shoe? Is the devil not good at what he does? And again, I'm not trying to embarrass you or hurt you. I like reality when I preach. Look. I think I can help you with it though. If you and I would realize that Sunday is to be God's big day. So that means Satan says, "I got to do everything I can to mess it up." So what does Satan do? He said, "I want to get to them before they ever show up and see if I can mess up their spirit or their attitude so that the journey from home to the church is chaotic. And we got to really work at painting a smile on when we walk in the back door." That child that is on your hip when you walk in the back door and you smile at everyone and say, God bless you, good to see you this morning. You had that very same child in a headlock as you were walking out the door at home. Somebody say amen right there. So let me help you. A good Sunday morning starts on Saturday night. Listen, I'm going to show you what Mrs. Owens and I learned as young Christians. A good Sunday morning starts on Saturday night. Proverbs 16:1 talks about the preparation of man's heart. Preparation clears the way for blessing. To some degree, a church will only be blessed to the degree that it is organized. Because it takes an element of organization to get everything in place for the blessing to come. Let me make this real simple. When I say a good Sunday morning starts on Saturday night, I might recommend to you that you not live for the devil on Saturday night. That's a good place to start. You don't need to be honky-tonking, out getting drunk, dancing with somebody else's wife, out doing drugs, getting high, getting drunk, doing stupid things on Saturday night. That sure is a rough way to get yourself started on Sunday morning. People that live that way are not real thrilled when they wake up Sunday morning. When you wake up Sunday morning and you're hungover or you've been up to no good all week long, you don't wake up and say, I can't wait to go and be with God's holy people. You don't feel that way. You feel like, I got to go to church. I wish I were sick so I wouldn't have to go. But listen, let me show you, give you a simple thing of logic that'll help you with everything. Think on what makes your Sunday morning frustrating and figure out if you could eliminate some of that frustration on Saturday night. You could salvage your Sundays. You could salvage your Sunday morning spirit on Saturday by preparation for Sunday. Let me show you how. Mrs. Owens and I, we started having our kids, and you know, it's one thing for her to get her skirt or dress ready and for me to get my pants ready. But then you add another boy and that's another pair of pants and another boy and that's another pair of pants and you another boy and that's another pair of pants and then a daughter, that's a skirt or a dress. Then that all has to be pressed and then there are the blouses that need to be pressed and then there are the pants that need to be pressed and then there's finding socks that match the pants and shoes that go along with that. And socks, if you can keep them on the kids long enough. Well, you try to pull that all off on a Sunday morning, you're probably going to find yourself frustrated. So here's what we did. We decided every Sunday night there would be a block of our time before everybody went to bed. We'd get all the clothes out, get them all laid out, get them all pressed, and get them all ready for Sunday morning. Some of you run around the house like a maniac on Sunday morning, freaked out over finding all the clothes and everything. Had you just prepared on Saturday, you would have taken some pressure off of yourself. That's why some of you are late all the time. You're late all the time because you don't advance what you're going to do. And so you know, being late is not a distance issue in most cases. Brother Robert probably lives further away from this church than anybody in the church. But he's never late for church. And you know, we could pitch a tent for some of you in the backyard of the church building, you'd still show up late. Because it is not the distance from the church that you live, it's your preparation that makes the difference. So if you want to have a better Sunday morning, you start on Saturday night. The Bible calls it the preparations of the heart, or the preparations for your life. Get your Sunday clothes ready on Saturday. Press them. Help the children coordinate them. Lay them out. Ladies, go ahead and go through the I don't have anything to wear thing on Saturday night. Get it over with. And then Sunday morning you won't have to change clothes three times. Have your Bible where it can be found on Saturday night. Now, you should have known where it was anyway. And if you leave your Bible here at church all the time, is there a chance that you're not reading it at home? But go ahead and have your Bible where you can find it. If you take, 20 minutes every Sunday morning saying, "Where's my Bible? Where's my Bible? Oh, it's in the freezer. It's with the ice cream." Yeah, that's why your heart's so cold, by the way. You don't know where your Bible is. Ladies, now, I can't make you do this, but I can tell you what we did. We share a meal on Sunday, and Sunday used to be a day when we got home from church, we'd all sit down and have a meal together. But it became difficult because, you know, we have four children, we're trying to get them all ready for church, and then Mrs. Owens and I need to get ready for church. We started making it, so we did some of the preparation for our Sunday meal on Saturday. Now, I don't know, maybe your hubby's not good with a crock pot meal. I can eat anything that won't eat me first. But we would work on having most of the meal done on Saturday night, so on Sunday morning we could get up. And you say, "Why all of this?" Because some of you, you come to church and you don't get what you ought to out of the preaching. Your attitude's all goofed up. You're mad, you're angry, you're tired, you're frustrated. You didn't want to come because everything was falling apart all morning. Do a whole bunch of it on Saturday night. It was delightful. We would do a crock pot meal, maybe throw a little bit of meat or potatoes or something in a crock pot. We'd plug it in before we went to church. By the time we got home, the whole house smelled like good food. It was already done. We went in and sat down at the table, and basically we ate. We weren't pulling our hair out. We weren't angry with each other. A good Sunday morning probably starts on Saturday. Don't stay up late on Saturday night watching the television. Some of you watch way too much of it anyway. It's corrupting your brain. But I'll tell you this. For some of you, you're just too tired because you stay up late watching TV. Young people, if you go to Sunday school and you say, "I'm so tired." Well, if you stayed up till midnight watching television, then you wake up the next morning and you've got a half-asleep brain in Sunday school and you're not getting anything out of the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you should have done something far different on Saturday. It might be wise for you not to eat late Saturday night. You say, why? If you eat late, your body spends the night digesting food and you wake up Sunday morning and you feel like a Mack truck hit you. Then he backed up to see what he hit and he hit you again. Let me say to everybody here, I've got Sunday school teachers, children's church, bus captains. If you teach or you preach lessons, which we all do on Sunday morning, could I recommend that you not try to figure out what you're going to preach or teach on Sunday morning? You say, why? Well, you're going to put all sorts of stress on your morning. You show me a man or a woman that needs to go teach in just a little while who hasn't already prepared what they're going to teach. And then let the kids or let someone in the family have a need of that individual who is the teacher. You're going to get your head bit off. Somebody's going to say, "Leave me alone. I'm getting ready to go love God's people." I get up on Sunday morning. My sermon is already settled. My sermon is totally ready. My Sunday morning sermon is ready. My Sunday school lesson is totally ready. My Sunday night sermon is totally ready. I get up and I go over it and I add some personality to it. I know I need to work on that part. You're saying, well, you need to get up earlier on Sunday morning, preacher. But I get up, I add a little touch, I go over it very, very gently. But I can promise you this, if I was as sick as a dog and I didn't have time to get up early and go over it before I come in here, by Saturday, it's already a done deal. I know what I'm preaching. I'm at ease with it. I'm relaxed with it. And I come to the pulpit not frantic. I come to the pulpit with a certain, I hope it's not an arrogance, but a certain confidence. I know what I'm going to teach. I know how I'm going to teach it. And I'm ready. And I'm at ease. And I'll tell you this also. That keeps me from losing my temper with you. You know, you can get in trouble if everything is frantic and frustrating and you come right down to getting up and speaking or teaching and you just came out of a whole bunch of frustration. That's one good reason why if you ever have a problem, you're better off talking to me about it after the service instead of before the service. You say, why? I might bite your head off. But prepare in advance. I've been teaching young preachers that for years. Advanced preparation takes frustration and it takes meanness out of some of what we do. Bus captain, work very hard at getting as much organized for your bus route as you can on Saturday. Keep you from having a frustrating Sunday morning. Sunday school teacher, do as much as you can in advance to Sunday. If not, you're going to have a miserable Sunday. Did you know that if you have five things you want to do in your ministry every week, if you did a little bit on Monday to get it ready, and a little bit on Tuesday to get it ready, and a little bit on Wednesday to get it ready, and a little bit on Thursday or Friday or Saturday to get it ready, you will have to spend all day Sunday frantic trying to get it all together. And then you come in and say, I'm just so glad Sunday's over with. Well, I'm sure the Lord's pleased with that attitude. But what do? We prepare. I think one of the greatest contributors to a great Sunday morning is a great preparation on Saturday and Saturday night. So, let me repeat myself. I said, number one, realize the devil wants your Sunday morning to be miserable. He is our adversary, 1 Peter 5:8. Realize then, secondly, God wants your Sunday to be the greatest day of many great days in the week, but He wants Sunday to be special. The Bible says in Psalm 100 verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Thirdly, if the devil can make you miserable before you arrive, he can control your attitude during the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, so he wins. He frustrates the purpose of that church service. He frustrates you. I said number four, a good Sunday morning, I think, starts with a good time of preparation on Saturday night. Number five, I think a good Sunday morning church attitude is going to depend a lot on then what you do just prior to the Sunday morning service. Remember, I told you, try to prepare on Saturday and get a lot of the frustration out of things so Sunday morning's a little more casual and it's not so tense. Now, for instance, I think then as you're approaching church, you get up in the morning and you're approaching church, try to make it pleasant. On purpose. For instance, wake up on time. You know, if you wake up late and you're running behind, the frustration begins. The curse of our generation is called a snooze button. The snooze is the after the alarm mechanism. I would have, if God said, what inventions would you like to do away with? Well, I'd do away with the telephone completely. Do you know, this generation of young people almost can't talk to human beings face to face. They could be sitting on a couch right beside each other texting. Well, won't you just talk to them? Oh. But I would have never let them invent the thing called the snooze button. It's destroying the character of American people. When your alarm goes off, why don't you just get up? So, well, I want extra sleep. Then set your alarm for the time you want to get up.
Right.
Now, I know I'm starting wars among husbands and wives because there are people in here, I told you. But, you know, look, if you get up on time, that'd make a difference. You say, how do I know what on time is? Well, then why don't you just test it and figure out what on time is? Figure out what time you have to get up to get everything done, to get where you're supposed to be, on time, without stress, then get up at that time. Every time. And we have solved the frustration of, I'm late again. I'm running behind. I think that when you get up in the morning, if you get up on time on Sunday morning, it'll make all the difference in the world. It'll take a lot of stress out of everything. I personally think you ought to get up and then have your morning cup of coffee. That'll help you. That'll help you. Heard about the fellow that got up and went and got his coffee, and he got to the bottom of the cup, and there were two little soldiers in the bottom of his cup, toy soldiers. He said to his son, Johnny, there are soldiers in my cup of coffee. And the little boy said, the best part of waking up is soldiers in your cup. If you're a little younger, you won't have any idea what I'm talking about, but that's okay. You don't need to understand. Some of the older folks in here know exactly what I'm saying. Now listen, get up in the morning, and you know, there's nothing wrong with getting up and relaxing in the morning as you get up. Maybe you need to eat a good breakfast when you get up. I'll tell you this, I think in our thinking we think, you know, we're gonna have donuts. Now, do you understand donuts are primarily grease and sugar? Now, if you would test laboratory rats that eat grease and sugar, they don't have good attitudes, just so you all know. And you say this. You say, I wonder why my children on the way to church are bouncing off the wall. Well, it might have been the 7 donuts that you gave them with sugar on top of it. It might be, if you're a little more careful with how much sugar you give them, you might not have to. I could save the children's lives. There are parents who are going to beat their kids to a pulp over sugar. Maybe you shouldn't give them licorice for breakfast on Sunday. I'm sorry, Brother Nofsinger. I just ruined your day. Well, be careful. You pump yourself full of sugar. Now, sooner or later, you're going to take a crash. And that's going to catch up with you. Realize it's Sunday. Plan to keep your attitude productive. Get up in the morning and eat something that's a little better for you if you're going to eat, rather than pumping you and the children full of sugar. Play good music at home. If you'll play pleasant music while you're getting ready, music calms the savage beast. Some of you, hey, and some of you women, next Sunday morning when your husband goes and turns on the music, and he's got, you know, he's got a safari hat on, you're going to know why he did that. They have proven that music affects people, their attitudes. If you would play some decent, calm music while you're getting ready, it might cause everyone to chill out just a little bit. I think it would be a good idea if you have kids, when you're riding from home to church, to play some decent music, good Christian music that will calm you. It'll prepare your heart. It might keep some of you from fussing. And I joke about it all the time. But it, to me, we can leave the house. There's someone honking the horn in the driveway because we're running behind. We're angry with each other. Halfway to the church, you know, we forgot our Bible, we forgot our shoe, I don't have on my socks, all of that sort of stuff. Where's a diaper bag? I told you to get it. Well, you told me that you were going to carry it out, and we go through all of this. So we get to church, and we've been angry with each other. It's been all the way to the church building. And then you pull in, and you're trying to get yourself adjusted so nobody knows. And then you smile, say, God bless you. Isn't God good? For some of you, you're tense. Usually someone in the family, it's an issue to be prompt. The word prompt means on time. Okay. There's usually someone that's prompt. Now let me tell you what you got to do. What you do is you don't just set an arrival time, you set a departure time. If you got to sit down with the Congress to figure out when that's going to be, you all sit down and you say, okay, every Sunday morning, we're going to leave our house at this time. Does everyone understand? What time are we going to leave every Sunday morning? Okay, come over here. We're going to prick your finger and you're going to sign in blood, sucker, because I'm not going to put up with this anymore. Can I promise you, if everybody here had a departure time, and everybody would keep the departure time, you wouldn't fuss about being late ever again. Because the departure time basically determines the arrival time. You say, I want to fly to California, and I don't know why anybody would want to fly to California. You say, I want to fly to California. Say, I'm going to go to California. I'm going to arrive at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I looked at my tickets and they said, we're going to arrive at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I said, well, what time are we going to leave? Well, we're going to arrive at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, what time do I need to be there? Well, you just better be there so we can be arrived by 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, couldn't I know what time the plane's taking off? Just as long as we get you there by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that's all that counts. Now, that's how some of you are functioning in your home. You do not have a departure time. And then you fuss at each other. Because we're not getting to church on time. The best way to get to church on time is leave home on time. And I know, you say, you really are stuck on this point. I'm trying to help some of you. We have been filming everybody that is within a half a mile of the church building on Sunday morning so we could see their attitudes before they arrive. Oh, it's like night and day. In the morning, take time to pray. Take time to read your Bible. You might not have as much prayer time and Bible time on a Sunday morning because we're going to spend the day preaching and teaching the Word of God, but that sure will help you. It will help you if you pray before you come and you take some time in your Bible. Sing. If you would all decide that you're going to sing on your way into church, it'd keep you from fussing and the kids from fussing with each other. If dad or mom would lead it, say, okay, let's sing. We'll sing on the way to church. Make sure you have your Bible. If I were you, I probably wouldn't get up, and whatever you do, don't get up and listen to a bunch of those false wacko preachers on the radio and stuff before you get here. Can I recommend this? I don't recommend that husbands and wives discuss their differences on Sunday morning. You say, well, I think she overspent this week. Wait till Monday and talk about it. But why discuss it Sunday morning right before you come to church and mess up the spirit? One of the children need discipline. So what? They always do. Can I recommend that you're cautious not to ruin the spirit of everything right before you get to church? You say, I'm going to ground my teenager for the next 50 years. I'm locking them in their room, putting barbed wire around it. They're not coming out. They're going to eat bread and water, and every parent's been there. Well, wait and let the capital punishment begin on Monday. Kill them on Monday. But do your best not to mess up the spirit of your Sunday. Make the ride to church as pleasant as you can. It'll keep everybody's spirit better. And you kids, don't be fussing with your brothers and sisters. Especially, you're not supposed to do it at all, but especially on Sunday. Why ruin your brother and sister's ride to church? You got two of them sitting in the seat right behind mom and dad in the car or in the van, and you know how they are. He's touching me. He is touching me. His elbow just touched me. He's breathing my air. This is my territory. Oh, my soul. And you know, you're going 60 miles an hour up the road, and dad, you know, kids are smart. You know, you're driving 60 miles out on the highway, and dad said, you want me to come back there? Well, they know you're driving, and you're not coming back anytime soon. Want me to come back there? Yeah, sure, dad, unstrap and bring it on right now. Come on, come get me. And for some reason, I think they develop cars that, with the children's, you know, well-being in mind, because they're usually just far enough away you can't get to them while you're driving. You think, I'll get a hold of you, you little runt. Well, let me tell you what you do. All you have to do right there, you know, the kids are leaned back because you're trying to get to them. Tap your brake gently. Their head will come forward and you can grab a handful. Tap the brake. They lean forward. You grab. Now you've got them. And the next time you say, I'm coming back there, they'll know he'll come. He'll come. Hey, look, on a Sunday morning, everybody, look, there's this attitude. You can have the we've got to go to church or we get to go to church. The we get to go to church, you work at it. You work at it with your children. You work at it with one another. A husband and wife have to work together on it. Men, I've tried to help my wife. There's a masculine ego that if you're not careful turns a woman into a slave. Your wife's not your slave. She's your wife. And on Sunday morning you say, get your kids ready. Well, I hate to tell you, buddy, those are your kids too. And it wouldn't hurt that, and if you're going to have a whole bunch of kids, then dad ought to pitch in and help take care of them. If you don't believe me at how hard it is, just leave a man at home for 3 weeks all alone to take care of all those kids for 3 weeks. And let the wife go off and visit her mother or someplace else dumb like that. But I'll tell you this. The woman comes home after 3 weeks and a man taking care of all the kids for 3 weeks, that man is fit to be tied. We can hardly let him go for 30 minutes without being frantic with the kids. But pitch in and help out. We want it to be pleasant. And let me warn you, a mom and dad that have the, well, we got to go to church and it's miserable and this is bad attitude, your kids are already picking up on it. And before long, we'll teach them to have that attitude. And I don't think you ought to decide every week if you're coming to church or not. Where do people pick up on an attitude like that? Well, are we going this week or not? It ought to be settled. We're going this week. Barring a catastrophe, we will be in church. That's called faithfulness. That's what faithfulness is. We never voted at our house. Okay, everybody, get your ballot out. We're going to vote whether we go to church today or not. You say, what'd you do? I was the dad, and I said, we're going. Say, did we debate? We might have, but they never brought me into the debate. If someone in the family is struggling, help them. Figure out what the issue is. But I think you'll find everybody, if it's planned, if it's prepared, if it's done on purpose, you'll find Sunday being a better day for you. Now, I will tell you this. You'll have to be careful that you don't compare your Sunday to the world's Sunday, because theirs is day off, go to Walmart, goof off, go to the lake, go swimming, go play. Now, God said that we're supposed to show up to church on Sunday. You say, I feel cheated. How could you feel cheated by God, who gives you everything, for Him just to ask? They're the ones that are goofed up out there. You say, well, look at what they get. Yeah, they're going to hell too. I mean, you want that as well? You'll have to be careful because you know, the Bible teaches Sunday morning church and Sunday night. It's taught in the Bible. They had church on Sunday night in the Bible. Therefore, it's scriptural. So we come. Your day won't be like the world's day. You don't get to go to the races every Sunday, and you're not going to the beach every Sunday, and you don't get to do all that because we're in church. But while we're in church, I hate for you to be miserable at it, and I hate for Sunday to start out being a rough day. I go all the way back to the day of the resurrection, which was Sunday. It was a delightful day. And every Sunday, we're to remember that resurrection, and we're come to celebrate it. I've got about 100 other practical things I could say. I won't. I think you're getting the idea. Plan on trying to make it pleasant. Work at it. It'll never be perfect. You're still going to lose socks. There are going to be moments when we run behind. But those of you that tend to run behind, can I teach you something? Usually late people are very consistent. Most of you people that are late, you're late the same amount of time every time. Yeah, people that show up late show up 3 minutes late or 5 minutes late. So what do you do about that? You leave home 3 minutes earlier. You get up 3 minutes earlier. Just three. Or just 5 minutes. If you'd leave home 5 minutes earlier, you wouldn't be showing up late all the time. And remember, it's not distance. It's character. It's the plan. I want everyone to be patient. Everybody that used to have children and now yours are grown. When you see those that have children struggling as they're adjusting, be patient with them. Remember back when you were the one dragging the kids all over the place, and you know, you get home and say, 1, 2, 3, 4, oh, we got one missing. Make a call. Be patient. But as a church family, and we have a great atmosphere. Boy, there was somebody again just a week or two that was visiting our church. They came in and said, oh my, these people want to be here. They're excited about church. I said, yeah, we work at it, and we've got to keep working at that. And I know not a spectacular sermon, but I'll promise you, if you listen to what I said, it'll help your Sunday go better. And I don't want you to be miserable on Sunday. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who here tonight would look to the Lord and say, Lord, tonight the sermon that you've directed the preacher to preach, I'm going to let it help me. I think I picked up on something tonight that's just going to help me. And you'll raise your hand and let the Lord see it and say, Lord, I think that's going to help me. There's some things there I can do. You may put your hand down. Even some of you young people, and let me say to some of you parents and you children that have mom and dad in church, there's all sorts of young people in here that get up and get themselves ready for church on Sunday. They're those that ride the bus and the van. They don't have anybody to help them with anything. But they're on time and they're here and they have good attitudes while they're here. Oh my. What a blessing. Why don't we all just make sure we guard our attitudes and that we guard Sunday so that we are different than the world? If you need a moment at the altar, it might be that somebody needs to come down here and pray and say, Lord, I really need to work on that departure time thing. Or I need to be careful. I'm not the one that frustrates the rest of the family. I need to work on that. And you men, I am every bit for you being a man's man and every bit of masculinity that you can muster. But help your wife. Those are your children too. And ladies, if the tension comes by your preparation work, and I think you'll solve some of the departure time thing just by setting one and everybody just, we just leave on time. Let's help to have a good attitude about Sunday, especially Sunday morning. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Every child, every teenager in here, let's make Sunday morning a pleasant time in our home. You children, on Sunday morning, don't you be fussing and fighting with each other. Mom and Dad help you to get ready for church on Sunday morning. Mama tells you to leave your shoes on, leave them on. She's trying to help you to go to church with a pair of shoes on. Leave your shoes on. Don't make a mess right before we walk out the door for church. Help Mom. Help Dad. We want church to be exciting and fun. And if your mom and dad have to discipline you or correct you every time we're getting ready to go to church, you're hurting everybody's heart. When they come to church, they're frustrated. Let's not frustrate mom and dad. Boy, teenage brother and sister can fuss right before we leave for church, and it can just soil the attitude at church. Protect the atmosphere prior to the church service in your home. Sing as you ride in the car. Be pleasant. Prepare in advance. Get your clothes ready on Saturday. Get your lesson ready on Saturday. Maybe get a part of the meal ready on Saturday. Figure out how long it takes for you to get from here to there. Leave a couple minutes early and you'll never find yourself walking in halfway through everything. Oh, and you don't need to be judgmental. Somebody for sure going to show up late on Wednesday night for church, but you don't need to judge them. You just need to attend to yours. You've got your hands full taking care of you. One more time through the song, if you will. Thank you. Look right at me, if you will.